Okay, I want to share a few revelations with you here. One, I guess we'll call this the Lord and the Man-Child cuts off Edom and as Planet X shakes. Okay, of course, codes, as you know, codes are all theory until they come to pass, usually because of the problems of interpretation and not knowing what questions to ask. Many times can give a bad interpretation. But we've had a couple of pretty good decodes there, and the more you get, the more solid it can be, right? So we'll find out. But anyway, on 8/22, just a couple days ago, we had a series of contacts that were ordained to give us a revelation, and it went kind of like this. Deborah Horton wrote by email, "I had a big long dream that I completely forgot until you started talking about salt. And then I remembered that I had a dream last night about salt. Salt was coating something. And I think it was a knife-like object. The salt was like a crystalline crust, and the crust was so sharp that it was being used to cut something. The knife-like object was being lifted up and brought down in a slashing motion. So I asked for a word about that by random computer and received Ephesians 5 and 2, which I believe shows how not to be cut off. Ephesians 5 and 1, "But ye, brethren, but ye therefore imitate," excuse me, "be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you." And that's a tall order, isn't it? But we know that by the grace of God, through our faith, we can do this. "And gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweet smell." Definitely, we're to imitate God in this. Anyone that does will definitely not be cut off. And then I wrote back to Deb, "This knife represents God's plan to preserve Jacob by cutting off Esau, like he did in scriptures, because I just got Romans 9:11-13 this morning. Romans 9:11, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." And I believe that some who act like Esau, selling their birthright through a root of bitterness, will repent when those spirits are smitten by the Lord. And some are true Edomites from the foundation of the world and will be totally cut off. Not just their spirits cut off, they will be cut off. And I also received a reply from Henry and Christelle, and wrote back to them, or I received an email, I didn't get a reply, but I wrote back to them, "Thanks, Henry and Christelle," they're in Australia, by the way, "for the blessing. Your verse fit right in with two other revelations this morning. And now, they were from one end of the earth until the other," meaning Australian here, right? "And a worldwide judgment." That's how I was seeing it. That's what I felt the Lord was showing me. "And when the David man-childs are anointed, they conquer Esau," or the Edomites. And this was the verse that Henry and Christelle sent me. Obadiah 1 and 21. "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." So the David man-childs conquer Edom, as David did, by the way, when he was anointed. And Esau's seed, who hated his brother, Jacob, who was Israel as a type of the church, was cut off. Esau's seed was cut off. Savior shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And that, I believe, is when the man-child comes, right there. And then Deborah wrote again her verse that she sends us every morning for our prayer meeting. It's a random verse. We all go to the prayer meeting with a random verse by faith, asking God questions sometimes and sometimes not. And a few people write in for that. So her verse was Haggai 2 and 16. Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there was but 10. And one came to a wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. Now Deb only sends the first verse a lot of times. And we read it and continue reading if there's text that fits something. And so we read on down, and it said this. The very next verse said, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the work of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, says the Lord. Now, he's talking about the people at a certain time in history here. He's going to tell you the day even, okay, that up until this day, they lived under a curse of some sort. And after this day, everything changed. So, he went on to say, verse 18, consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, which is, by the way, if you considered this our date, it would be September the 24th. The 24th day of the 9th month, right? Now, don't doubt that God can do such things. He's done things like that all through the Bible. So he says, from this day, September 24th, backwards. Again, you don't have to accept that September. You could put the Hebrew date in there if you want. But we don't believe it came to us by accident, because you remember the Bible codes of September the 24th, right? And you'll notice a very similar happenings that were recorded in the Bible code for that day. From this day and backward, since the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Notice, on a day that could be used as our September the 24th, the foundation of the temple was laid by Zerubbabel, meaning born from Babylon. He represented the man-child company, the first fruits from Babylon, right? Verse 19 said, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth fruit. But from this day will I bless you. So before this date, there was no fruit of the new latter rain kingdom. So the blessing starts on this day. Well, that seems to fit with the Bible codes that we mentioned. I'll point them out to you again so you can remember. Verse 20, and the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, September 24th, saying, here are some of the I'll give you the saying later, but let me point out to you while I'm here on this date that here are some of the codes that pointed out in part one of this that allude to this. Remember what I said there about why sometimes codes are misinterpreted. I believe, personally, codes are right all of the time. but people who interpret them and only ask some questions in the matrix to come up with certain things, but don't ask other questions unless they have a good word of knowledge, you know, from the Lord. Okay, because God hides a thing, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out, right? He hides it well. So, this is the same date that the Bible code shows for Planet X, and then Nibiru, and the Messiah coming as an epiphany. It doesn't say epiphany there, but we know that's what it is, an epiphany. Him coming in his people rather than for his people. So that the shaking on this day is understood. We'll find out that he is going to shake heaven and earth on this day as I read the rest of this Haggai text, okay? But meantime, I just want to point these codes out to you on that date, right? Rabbi Glazerson found Nibiru returns September, and that's from Tishri, which is September 23rd, 24th of 2016, and that's 776 for 2016. And then there's several links here that I'll, when we post this, you can look at. Some of them are the links that we had before when we first spoke about this. And this link points out asteroid and Nibiru and September 24, 2016. Again, it is a possibility that the date is not being aligned with either one of these, or it's just being aligned with one of them. However, it's also possible, from what we know from past revelations in matrices like this, that it is speaking about the other things in the text and happening on that day. So, okay. And here's another one. You know, asteroid in the 24th September, 5776 in the Bible code. And it has asteroid, warning in front of God. In other words, it appears like it's saying the asteroid is coming just ahead of the Lord. And the verse that came to me when I saw this was that his reward is with him and his recompense is before him. Very interesting. And we know that the asteroid coming in starts this chain of collapse all the way across America and around the world. And here's another one, and it says, again, these links are here. You can look at them and see what you think. But Nibiru, Planet X, with Messiah. The link itself says, Nibiru coming, bringing Messiah. Wake the Jewish world. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, isn't it? And here's another link. It's about the coming of the Messiah in 776. 5776 is what the Jews believe that this is pointing to, which is 2016. Glazerson says 776 is recognized by the Jews as the year of trouble. And the code says, who will cause these troubles? Obama. It answers it with Obama. And another code there says, the kingdom of David will be eternal. Now we know that's Jesus coming in his modern day Son of David body. The last kingdom, 776. And 776, this is the year. And asteroid, again Tishri, which is September. 776, warning, in front of God. Asteroid in front of God. So, I'm just giving you the information, not prophesying anything, because I know how these things are and can be. But I don't want to miss warning you so that you can make some steps and watch for things, you know. And here's one that speaks about the Messiah coming on Sukkot, which is Tabernacles. If we're calculating this right by the Creator's calendar, Tabernacles begins the eve of the 14th, and the last day could be September 22nd, 2016. And it is, of course, 776 is 2016. And it has Son of David, after Shemitah year, Jubilee, which we believe this is the after the Shemitah year and Jubilee. And, of course, 5776 is believed to be the Jubilee year after the Shemitah year, which will bring judgment on those who mistreat God's people and freedom to the captives among God's people. A freedom from captivity and going into the wilderness, right? There's a link there for that. And the link says, Messiah will come on Sukkot, which the Jews have believed. Many have believed this even before seeing this. Because it's Tabernacles, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles. You dwell in Tabernacles for 7 days. And on the eighth day, which is the day, the great day of assembly, you know, everybody tears down their temporary tabernacle, which is this body, and goes to their permanent tabernacle or house, which is their new body. So it's pretty neat. Here's another one. Messiah arrives after Shemitah year 776. Which is 2016. So you can look at those and see what you think. I'll post them. And many of these are the same ones that I've already posted on part one. So I'm going to finish this text here, what Haggai was speaking. I'll start again, verse 20. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, September 24th, we are suspecting, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So, is he identifying this date for the shaking of the heavens and the earth? Yeah, it could very well be, and it could be that he hid it. Of course, it wouldn't be hidden if it was the Hebrew date, you know, but it's more hidden if you're taking it to be our date. I will shake the heavens and the earth. And, of course, if it is what we think, that that comes on the 24th, the Nibiru, then the asteroids, tsunamis, and earthquakes from east to west in the United States and other nations will come. So that kind of fits. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Again, we've spoken about that already. And not from this text, but it speaks very plainly that on that day he will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. Now he seems to be alluding to the Red Sea destruction of Pharaoh's kingdom as the slaves are set free to go into the wilderness tribulation. Behind the man-child. In that case, it was Moses, right? Again, it seems to fit really good. And the horses and their riders shall come down. Yeah, those that have been chasing after God's people, think they have dominion over God's people, plan to slaughter God's people, they'll be taken down. And, of course, Gil Broussard, in his teachings on Planet X, says that it came through at the time of the Red Sea parting. But here it says, and every one by the sword of his brother. The riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. One text that we have received when asking questions about this is 2 Chronicles 20, 22 and 23, where the enemy all conquered each other. They came as three against the bride, and they were smitten and they ended off killing each other, ended up killing each other off. I'm curious as to whether this is maybe World War III, because we're being pushed in that direction by this administration, and so is Putin being pushed in that direction. Is it to keep martial law, to stay in power? Could be. Or is it just to destroy America? I believe that the radical Muslims would love to see a war between Russia and America. Okay, it would suit their purposes. Verse 23, "In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts." Zerubbabel, of course, is a signet. He's a sign of the coming man-child, and it could be on this date. Wow! I'll be glad when we get through all the possibilities and see the real thing, won't you? Anyway, this date and shaking and the coming of the Lord in the man-child is confirmed earlier in this chapter 2, it seems. I'm going back to verse 4 now. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." Now, remember that what we just read just a minute ago was the foundation of the temple was being laid, right? They were starting to build the temple at the time of the destruction of the beast attempting to take authority over God's people. So that kind of fits. Verse 5, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt," in other words, to destroy Pharaoh and his army and go into the wilderness tribulation, right? "And my spirit abode among you, fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, and it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Okay. "And I will shake all nations." Obviously, something like Planet X would have to come through to do that, right? God can do it sovereignly, but a lot of times He uses nature so that people who don't want to believe don't have to. He does that quite often. He doesn't need anything. I can tell you when He won't be using nature necessarily, and that's when He comes back. This is only a coming back in the epiphany, meaning manifesting in His people. But the parousia is at the end, and God don't need to hide anything then. The Bible says every eye will see Him. Okay, so that won't do a lot of good. And of course, the kings will be hiding in their caves, you know. "And I will shake all nations." And, of course, what could do that is the asteroids, tsunamis, and earthquakes from the east to west and the United States and all and the other nations. Because this thing's going to go around the globe. Just as sure as the globe turns and faces this thing, there's going to be trouble. And an earth tide would happen in that direction, you understand? Okay. Because of its great magnetism. "And the precious things," and things wasn't here in the original, "of all nations shall come." Or it's also translated "the desire of all nations," meaning the Lord, who is desired of the elect of all nations. And He's going to come. Oh, glory to God. There it is again. This also fits with the Bible codes. So far, all of this is fitting with the Bible codes. "And I will fill this house with glory." Well, now that, if the Lord's going to come as an epiphany, that's exactly what happens. The Lord comes in His people by the latter rain, Hosea 6:1-3, on the morning of the third day, where we are now. And the glory of the Lord comes to those people who are beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord and transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Wow. I'll fill this house. What is the house? It's His temple. But who is His temple? Well, we are His temple. Not some building. He doesn't dwell in houses made with man's hands. Right? Saith the Lord of hosts, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, when they get ready to go into the wilderness, that's exactly what they get. You think, okay, that belongs to the Egyptians, but hey, they gave it over to them. They wanted the favor of their God. They saw that their God was God. Yeah. So it was given to God's people when they were leaving Egypt, which is a type of the world to go into the wilderness tribulation. And verse 9 says, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. Well, that's true. Just like the latter rain is greater than the former rain. Says the Lord of hosts, and this place will I give peace. That's the place of the temple, which is on Mount Zion. He says there's going to be peace there. And he says that over and over through the scriptures too. Says the Lord of hosts, in the 24th day of the 9th month, there it is again, September the 24th, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Well, the 2nd year of Darius is when the temple of God's people is built. That's pretty neat, huh? Yeah, Ezra 4:24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. This happened, why? Because of factious attacks against them by their enemies round about. Huh. Has that just happened? I believe it just did happen. I think we've come through that. And it ceased until the 2nd year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So the ceasing of the work on the house of God ceased until the 2nd year of Darius. Very interesting. And when does it say? The 24th day of the 9th month. Wow. Wouldn't it be something if God was going to use all that to show us something, huh? So I would say you need to get ready. Anyway, you can't miss by getting ready. You're just that much closer whenever it does come. But you need to do it anyway. We've been receiving those words over and over. And God's given us revelations that He didn't tell us whether they were the happening itself or something pointing to the happening. And, of course, every time we shared one of them, people have been exhorted to serve the Lord, to come out of their confusion, their fog, and serve the Lord. It's kind of like it came to me the other night. Was that when I was a young man disking up large fields with tractor. And you have to look at the other end of the field in order to, you know, do a straight line. You just pick out something on the far end of the field and you just look, keep your eye on that, and you just keep your eye on that goal right there, you know. You don't never turn sideways and look at the rest of the field. It just kind of discourages you, you know. So you just look at the other end of that field and you're disking up that row, you know. You want to make a nice straight line. So, and then you come back, you do the same thing. Each time you got a goal. And now I think these revelations have been like that. You know, like a goal. And but looking at the rest of the field, we may be coming to the end of the field now. Glory be to God. You know, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, they kept records of the passing of Nibiru, Planet X, as Gil Broussard did his research on those records and plotted a course, so to speak. You can't do that exactly because when planet X passes through, it speeds up or slows down according to which planets it's next to. And, of course, they're also cycling, and it's not always the same, so you can't get it exact. But other things can show us, right? The Lord. And the ancient writers spoke much of this disaster in their time. Ancient history, astronomy, folklore, and prophecy recorded many flybys. And, of course, they used different names for Planet X or Nibiru. The Sumerians, the Babylonians, the Mesopotamians, the Hebrews, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Chinese, the Phoenicians, the Mayans, the Hopi Indians. You know, these are a few people who recorded in history this thing coming. So don't tell me that the government's not lying. You know, they don't want you to find your way into their mountain before they get there. I don't even want to be in their mountain. I'll take my chances with the Lord on the top. And they'll take their chances with the Lord under that dirt, too. So God did say he's going to wipe out the government. This could be a really good reason for it. These reports were of the same object with the same symptoms on Earth. And the book of Revelation records X's effects, right? I like Mother Shipton's, who was an early English prophesier, her revelation about the fiery dragon that was coming. And don't know if she read up on history of that or not, but I'll just read it to you very quickly. A fiery dragon will cross the sky 6 times before this earth shall die. Mankind will tremble and frighten be for the 6th heralds in this prophecy. For 7 days and 7 nights, of course that's the talking about the rotations of the earth as it faces planet X. And, of course, chemtrailing, they're not going to be doing that while they're down in their hole, right? So, chemtrailing won't be necessary, so you can look up and see it at that time, probably. Men will watch this awesome sight. The tides will rise beyond their ken, like when the rotation slows or stops, and the 700 extra feet of water at the equator, because of centrifugal force, goes north and south. Lots of water coming. To bite away the shores, and then the mountains will begin to roar as earthquakes split the plain to shore. And, of course, astronomers, as we know, have reported back quite a few years about the perturbations of other celestial bodies by its gravitational pull. And most of this is in the direction of Orion, from the direction which it comes. So, something's going on. I recently watched a video by Gail Broussard with his instructions for sighting Planet X, which he says is about 7 times the size of Earth. That's why he called it 7X. And I put that video here. He says when it's 40 days out, you can see it with a telescope. Have we seen it? Possibly. He said the last 10 or 12 days, you can see it by the naked eye as a large star. And, of course, people have seen what they thought was a large star and wondered, what is that, you know? And when close in, it will be seen as a second sun. That's the way he reported it. He says Earth is going to slow for 12 hours. It's going to tilt 26 to 28 degrees. That will be probably when you see the stars fall to the Earth, right? And, of course, if it takes the South Pole and pulls it towards it, then the northern hemisphere would look away from the sun, which would be darkness, days of darkness, right? Okay. And his computer model, which is calculated from the Chinese, Japanese, and Korean records of past flybys, is where he gets this information. So watch the sky if you can see it, and let me know what you can or can't see, right? Some people will have chemtrails, and some will be out from under them, and somebody will see it. Has it been seen? That's the question. Many say no, and many say so, but most are, of what I've seen, are obviously reflections or lens flares, or they're just way too big to be Planet X, right? If it was that close, we'd be in terrible trouble, right? And they just look like reflections, too. Besides that, I've looked at some of them, and some of them look like, to me, the sun has got the chemtrail clouds in front of it, but Planet X don't look like it has chemtrail clouds in front of it. Now, that makes me suspicious that it's a reflection against the clouds, you know? I don't know. So, anyway, many chemtrails cover much of the sky these days. They must be working pretty hard to hide something. And contrary to scientists who work for the government and don't know what clouds or contrails look like, they're saying, oh, that's nothing. That's just contrails, you know. They're crazy. I can see contrails. We see jets going with contrails. At the same time, jets are spraying the heavens. And when they spray, I mean, you got two jets in the sky at the same time. One of them spraying from as can see to can't see, right? All the way across the heavens, you know. And the one with the contrail is just going out shortly behind the plane, which lets you know the atmospheric conditions are the same for both of them. So, therefore, one of them is being sprayed, besides people taking pictures of the sprayers and everything else. I don't need to go into all that. But here I'm going to put a couple of what people think are inbound systems, and they're not lens flares. And I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know. I'll put that link, those links here. And let me say this. On 8/18 and 16... just a few days back, Michael Hare put this question to the conference callers on Tuesday night. Will Planet X come in September, October of this year? Well, we'll give you the verses that people got, and you see what you think. Shalonda got Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not reject the chastening of the Lord, and do not loathe his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he is pleased. Well, I do believe that this will be a chastening, and many will repent when it happens. There's no doubt in my mind. It could start the greatest revival the world has ever seen. So, I don't know if that's what the Lord's talking about. I don't know, but it could be. And Daniel 3:19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and the form of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usual to heat it. Well, that's because we have also already seen this as a type of the beginning of the tribulation. 7 times. Times and a half a time. Times is used for years. So this will lead or begin these 7 years. And Anna got Habakkuk 3:2-6. Lord, I've heard your report, and I'm afraid. Give new life to your work in the midst of years. Oh, I believe this would give new life. In the midst of years, make known. In anger, remember compassion. Oh, he is coming in anger, like we none of us have seen in our lifetime. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His majesty covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. And his brightness is as the light. Rays from his hand are his, And there was covering of his strength. There was covering of his strength. Now he's making his arm known, right? A plague goes before him, and lightning went forth at his feet. By the way, there is great lightning that goes between planets when this thing comes very close. Lightning like we've never seen. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook nations. There you go. And the ancient mountains were shattered. The eternal hills bowed down. The goings of eternity are his. Well, then Marlon shared his text, and it was the same text. Habakkuk 3, 2 through 6. The same text. Pretty neat, huh? What's the chances of that? And then Marlene got Isaiah 13 and 4. Now, I realize that the timing of some of these literally could be the end of the tribulation period. But God, if it speaks of things that are relative to what we're speaking about, this is what we've learned. Pay attention. Because just because it literally happens back there doesn't mean it ain't spiritually happening. See, we're coming to the end of the man-child tribulation. You know, Moses went through the wilderness himself before he came back to bring God's people through the wilderness. So we're coming to a day of the Lord now. Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. So Marlene got Isaiah 13:4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, as of a great people. Is this the northern army that's coming against God's people when God smites them and they scatter and the revival comes? Like in Joel chapter 2? The noise of a multitude in the mountains, as of a great people, a noise of a tumult of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. It just so happens the nations are persecuting God's people. The Lord of hosts is calling up an army for the battle. They come from a distant land, from the end of the heavens. The Lord and the weapons of his wrath to destroy all the land. He's bringing destruction on the earth. Is this host, those hosts, you know, of the things that are coming towards the earth, the weapons of his warfare that are coming towards the earth, with him, by the way, we've noticed from the Bible code. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Yeah, that asteroid coming in. It could be one of the asteroids of the three that we know about, or it could be the one that is split up and that later splits up into three as it gets close to Earth. Either coming through the atmosphere or they're shooting at it because they've been reported to be ready to shoot at Ephraim's asteroid, right? On account of this, all hands shall droop and every heart of man shall melt. That's kind of the feeling that people get from the reports of history when they see this monster in the sky, this red dragon in the sky, right? The coming of the red dragon, by the way, is a sign of the coming of the red dragon in Revelation 12 at the beginning of the tribulation period when the man-child ministry is born, right? Wow. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain, like one giving birth. And they shall be amazed, each man to his neighbor. Faces of flames shall be their faces. Could that be reflecting from the sky? Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel and with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land waste, and he shall destroy its sinners out of it. The Lord is able to use destruction in such a way, like a knife. He can cut off some and not cut off others. I remember Sandy's dream of the angels coming down and grabbing two or three people in groups and being and covering them from some judgment that was coming. Very interesting. It's a Passover. Right? And Vanessa heard this. Many things must happen. She got this verse, Matthew 27:51-53. And it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from above as far as below, from the top to the bottom." I believe this is representing the spiritual death of the man-child body. "And the earth quaked, and the rocks were sheared, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and were revealed to many." And I believe this represents the second quake here at the New Madrid, which is the great quake. Remember, when Jesus died, there was a quake, and when he was resurrected 3 days later, there was another quake, a great quake. And the first one, of course, is the one down the East Coast. When the asteroid hits and sends a tsunami to the coast, it's also hitting down there at the North American plate, going under the Puerto Rican plate, causing probably an earthquake going all the way up the coast. That's what I'm thinking. That's just what I'm thinking now. I ain't prophesying it. Okay. And Andrew got Ruth 4:13. "And Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and she went into her, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son." Notice this is the lineage of the first man-child, Jesus Christ, before his birth. And Judy got, "So behold, the days come, and I will punish all the idols of Babylon, and all her land shall be put to shame, and all her slain shall fall in her midst." Oh my, that sounds like Planet X too, doesn't it? And Gil said, "North and South America will catch the worst of this." Claudia said, "Lord, will tribulation start this year? If so, give me a verse with judgment in it." And she got Ezekiel 39:20-21. "And you shall be satiated at my table with horses and chariots and mighty men and all the men of war, declares the Lord." That's a judgment on a lot of people, right? "And I will put my glory among the nations." And that's, of course, the coming of the Lord. "And all in a, as an epiphany, not as a parousia, coming in his people. And all the nations shall see my judgments." Okay, that's what she wanted. She said she wanted the text with the judgments, "which I have done, and my hand which I have laid on them. All the nations shall see it." Well, that sounds like something coming from space, don't it? And from the waters, right? So, that's pretty cool. And I have another revelation here, but it's too long. I'm going to have to share it later. So, whatever you think, saints, I don't know if you've been getting a confirmation or the opposite of these things. At any rate, we won't have long to wait, about a month. And I think I'll put this with the last time we shared on the Bible codes so that everybody can get the full story there. And it was, I think we called it Climb Quickly. Now there's a date. Well, Father, Lord, we ask that you make it plain to us, Lord. We're kind of simple, you know. We don't know too much. But we all look forward to your coming. We don't look forward to seeing the bloodshed, of course. But we want to see you come in your church and restore your church. And we know that you're righteous in your judgments, and you may take some Christians on to heaven that don't need to be here, like Isaiah 57:1. And at the same time, you might judge an awful lot of wicked that would really tribulate your people and may cause them not to even live long enough to see the end of the tribulation. So we just know you're wise, Lord. We know you're wise. But we want to see you come, Lord. We all desire that. So please consider that, Lord. And by the way, the nations that are planning and plotting and scheming to destroy your people, it seems very plain from Haggai, Lord, that you're going to judge them. And from Pharaoh and his army, and Haman and his army, and Sennacherib and his army, and yes, other places. We see that you're planning on judging the nations and bringing down this too early war on the saints. The beast has sought to change the times. And, Lord, we know you're going to judge him for that and bring down this beast kingdom, but also it's being brought down in order to bring up the dragon. The nations will be weakened. They'll decide to join together. The dragon is what they've already plotting and scheming behind the scenes. And this will be a good time to make their one world order, to begin their tribulation. And, but Lord, we want to be in your will. We would like to see your people who have been striving after holiness and to come to that holiness that they're believing for, and manifest your bride. And be ready to help an awful lot of people that are going to have an awful lot of questions and have a lot of needs, physical needs. Lord, there's going to be a lot of people that need healing when this thing comes through. And Lord, we just ask you for the greatest wave of signs and wonders and miracles the world has ever seen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We know you're going to impress the world that you are God. The nation shall know that you are God. That is the nations of the elect. There, or should I say, the elect of all nations will know that you are God. And it will be a quick move of them into the kingdom. Oh, we praise you, Father. It's like Pharaoh at the Red Sea in the movie, The Ten Commandments. He said, their God is God. Well, the nations are going to know that. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this. And thank you for drawing your people with a special drawing right now to bring them totally into your kingdom. And thank you for putting the armor on your people, preparing them to escape these things. And thank you, Lord, for all the parables you've been showing us. It's a wonderful thing that you have written all these things beforehand. And Lord, if you didn't come on September the 24th, I'd be disappointed in the regards of I want to see you come so bad, but if you didn't, well, we'll be just turning around looking at the next row and getting a sight on the other end of the field, and we'll be ready when you come by your grace, Lord. We just thank you so much for your mercy towards us, and thank you for drawing us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for showing your people in the heavens when this thing does come, that it won't be able to be hid. And thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for we know that even now you are smiting the beast. Even now. We're seeing people who have killed a lot of people dying in front of us. Heads of the beast. Lord, we know you know what you're doing. We know that whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap, Lord. And this this dishonesty, this lack of integrity that's going across our nation in the media and in the leadership is just astounding. But it's like you've turned them over to the devil, Lord. And Lord, save some people out of that to be a good witness for you. Save them, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father.